This episode of the Citadel Cafe is brought to you by listeners like you. Visit patreon.com/thecitadelcafe to find out how you can become a patron and help make this show possible. This is the Citadel Cafe, episode number 286 for Wednesday, September 12th, 2018. My name is Joel Duggan, and the Citadel Cafe is where my friends and I hang out to talk about the geeky stuff that we are into. With me tonight, Mr. Lou Page of Zombies Ate My Podcast. Welcome back to the show, my friend.
Glad to be back. Feels like it's been forever.
I think it's been a month.
It has, but it feels longer. It's been a long month.
One of these days we're getting an email, and it's going to be Joel, Lou, find a new joke. Find a new opening.
Probably.
But you know what? Ryan and I go through the same thing whenever Ryan's on the show. He's like, how long has it been? When was I last on? And it's one of the joys, I think, of having this rotating guest every week on the Citadel Cafe, in that I get to hang out and touch base with my friends once a month at least. And then there's always something new. Like, there's always something new that's happened. That, you know, so it's not like it's been 4 days and we're like, what's new? Nothing.
Like, nothing's changed. I won't even get into what's new. I got lots of house projects. I had to wait all day today for a pest exterminator to come to the house. So.
Oh, man.
I have a wasp nest in the crevice of a house that I've been trying to kill for about 2 weeks now. Wow. And now the wasps are getting into the house, so I had to call pest control.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Like, it's too bad that, because I mean, a lot of times you want to try to move that kind of stuff as opposed to just like destroy it and kill everything. Like,
it is in a place that they would have to carve out the side of my house and take bricks away in my chimney for me to get at.
Ah, so no.
It would be thousands and thousands of dollars if I didn't just have somebody come and spray.
Yeah, buy bugs. See ya. Poor life choices, wasps, unfortunately. Yeah, I would certainly, I mean, not for thousands of dollars, but if I was a homeowner and it was a beehive, I would probably extend some extra effort if I could. But if it was if it's out of your price range, it's out of your price range. There's nothing you could do.
Oh no, they've made their nest they found a way into the cracks of my chimney.
Oh,
and
wow.
The nest is inside my chimney, but we don't use the chimney technically. We have a pipe that runs up the chimney for our furnace.
Oh, so the chimney is around the pipe.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So the nest is somewhere inside the chimney around the pipe, and they can't get into the house that often, but we keep finding one or two. Mm-hmm. And I have to kill them, and it literally turned into a project where my wife came up with an idea because she saw it on YouTube, and some guy hooked up his vacuum cleaner outside the nest and sucked up all the wasps into a vacuum full of soapy water. So dumb me tried that over the weekend, and I must have killed about 100 of them.
Wow.
And they still were coming. And so jeez.
I wouldn't say dumb you. I'd say that's probably, as an amateur, you know, move, that's successful. You know, I thought you were going to say like 12, but like a couple hundred, that's, you know, I'd say that's a successful venture.
It is, but it didn't make them go away. They just got smaller because the babies were coming out now.
Right.
And okay. I was like, so the pest guy came today and he was like, no problem. I spray it, you pay a fee. And if they come back, I come back for free. And I was like, okay, that works for me.
Yeah, nice. The cartoonist in me is just thinking about the conversations that's happening inside the wasp's nest, you know, like, you know, some little like tyke that's just got his wings, you know, Billy, and the older wasp is like, all right, Billy, you're up. It's like, what happened to the rest of the guys? I don't know. They just didn't come back. So you're it.
Yep.
Yeah. I feel like that'd be like a Far Side cartoon.
And the good part too is he also sprayed my house for other stuff too while he was here.
So we're
protected for the next 6 months.
Well, that's good. I mean, it's nice that they took rather than just doing the wasp nest, they actually said, all right, well, here's some potential problems and we're going to just kind of safeguard you for all those things.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've actually spent the week very heavily into doing some video stuff for Minecraft. I released a new Let's Play video on my YouTube channel on Tuesday. So yesterday. God, all of a sudden it's Wednesday evening and this week has just evaporated. So I'm quite proud of the episode, not just in the content in the game, but just the video editing. And I feel like I've finally hit a pace where I can record and edit something in about a couple of days. So that's good news, because I was in a bottleneck of learning how to do video editing again, learning new software, new tricks, finding a good workflow and a pipeline. And I think I've finally nailed my comfort zone when it comes to that kind of stuff. So I'm curious for feedback, though. So that's why I'm bringing it up. So if you are listening to this and you're curious or have kids that like family-friendly Minecraft content, then head on over to youtube.com/JoelDuggan and watch the Citadel series. There's 5 episodes right now, which is a good amount of content. They run about 20 to 30 minutes a piece. So it's a good couple hours of content. And I was actually surprised when I was recording on the weekend. I thought, I'm not necessarily rushing through this, but I feel like I accomplished it quite quickly, which means that I'm basically, you know, fewer takes. I'm able to record what I want when I want it a little bit better now. But I was under the impression that this was going to be a shorter episode, and I didn't thankfully record an opening that said, hey, sorry if this is a shorter episode than normal. I just kind of did my normal sort of take.
Because it ended up being a longer one, didn't it?
It is. It's the longest one that I've posted to date. And I was really surprised. And part of that is a fault of me having some run-on sentences in the gameplay, where I could have gone and made a cut or moved on to something else. But because I didn't shut up, there was no pause at the end of a sentence for me to just, you know, make a cut and swipe to the next scene. So part of it is just, you know, my own kind of inability to, well, just shut up. But the other thing is that it was more about following me around and actually building the thing. Like I didn't want to just keep on cutting to like scenes where, and now this is done, and now this is done, and you saw nothing in between. I wanted to kind of record a little bit more of what was happening. So that's probably why it was a little bit longer. But I'm still kind of playing around. I think from a consumer standpoint, when I watch videos on YouTube, I'm not sure about you, but I like them to be about 20 to 25 minutes. When they start getting into the 30 plus, I have to think like, ooh, do I have time to watch this?
Yeah, I just don't have... YouTube is something I touch maybe once a week.
Oh, okay. I've had a problem with it over the last few months. Not in a bad way, but I've just been watching so much YouTube content, and it's a lot of the same kind of content, but obviously every episode is different. And I find it sometimes challenging to have stuff to talk about on the Citadel Cafe, because like my Netflix watching has dwindled quite a bit over the last 6 months compared to YouTube. But yeah, I'm having a lot of fun with it, with the creation side of things.
We haven't been watching a lot of stuff on Netflix. We've been watching a lot of stuff on a lot of other things, because we've been finding that we've hit walls in the Netflix stuff where we've pretty much seen everything we're in the mood to watch, and there's nothing really left to watch. And some of the new releases that come out, we're like, yeah, that's too heavy for us right now. We'll touch base with this in 6 months.
Yeah. Well, that's good, because I actually have something to recommend for everybody later in the show that is the exact opposite of that. The exact opposite of the heavy, heady, dark things that are coming out lately. And it was quite a pleasure to watch. So that's my teaser. My biggest complaint, and I touched on this briefly with Alistair last week, is the Netflix interface. And I went as far as to gripe about it on Twitter. It's not something I normally let myself do. I'm usually pretty positive on social media. if I'm complaining about something, I am usually trying to make a joke about it. But I was just fed up with Netflix taking my list, the list of things that I have chosen to watch, and not only reordering them daily, but changing the thumbnail art on most, not all, but most.
And you don't know what it is.
And you, yeah, because you're like, okay,
yeah.
I'm used to seeing, I mean, just for example, a Justice League cartoon has got a big image of Superman as the big flagship image. That makes sense. When I go to look for that again, when I'm in the mood to watch it, I'm going to be looking for Superman. Now, yes, I can always read, you know, the description underneath, but in the list that I have on the Apple TV, which is the top box that I'm using, it just has numbers. It just has 1 through 80 or whatever, however many is on my list. And yes, I realize that's a lot. I'm not sure how that stacks up to other people's lists, but I feel like it's too much.
You don't even want to know how long my Netflix list is, man.
So
I've maxed out before where it won't let me add stuff before.
Oh, really? I did a giant culling. I even did like an Instagram post about it like a year and a half ago where I did have over 100 things. And I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna go through and just ream some of these and just get rid of them. But
I did that, and then they stopped making any recommendations to me that meant anything.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah. I was like, and it stopped telling me when new stuff came out. And I was like, okay.
Well, on the positive side, I have received several emails from Netflix over the last couple weeks, because September they've just
really?
they've had a lot of stuff just come out. They have a couple of original movies, they had have a couple of series returning, like Ozark season 2 is out, and there's all this stuff. And the emails to me have been, hey, there's this new thing we think you might like. And 9 times out of 10, Lou, they're right. It's like Ozark season 2, it's this new next gen cartoon movie, it's a new series of, it's called Tau, and it's about an artificial intelligence. I was like, okay, all of this actually sounds really interesting. I'm not necessarily going to watch it all right now, but like all of it got added to my list. So Netflix was, in the email, was nailing it. However, even from looking at something in the email and then going to try to find it on Netflix, it's different art on the website, on the app. I haven't checked my phone to know whether the mobile app is going to be different or not. But there's only a handful of movies that have remained the same. And it is infuriating, especially when you're kind of flipping back and forth to say, okay, do I want to watch this right now? And then you go and you read the description to refresh your memory, and then you come back and then you go to look for something else again. When where you just left, the menu of 80 items that you just left has been reordered in the last time that you've reloaded the page.
Yep.
And there's no rhyme or reason to why it's being reordered, why the art is changing day to day, and why they can't pick either numerical or alphabetical and just leave it. Like, no, it drives me nuts.
I don't know how it is for the Canadian Netflix, but my biggest gripe is I can't find anything.
Oh, we can't find anything, and then we also have nothing good to find. It means like huge. No.
Tuesday of last week, Black Panther was supposed to show up on Netflix because it's still part of their Disney deal. And Erica went to bed early, and I've been playing a game, and I just needed something in the background while I was playing a game on my laptop. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Black Panther would be perfect. I already know the plot. I can just tone it out and I'll play my game and relax. And so I went onto the Netflix app on my Roku, and it was like, Black Panther can't be found. And I'm like, no, I know it's there. They sent me an email today, said Black Panther's on Netflix. Watch today. And so then I went to their website and I looked it up and I browsed, and it said it's not there. So I refreshed my browser and it went, oh yeah, here's Black Panther. So I added it to my Netflix queue and then went back into my Roku. And the Roku was like, yeah, no Black Panther here. It wasn't on my list. I had to reboot my Roku box.
Yeah.
And then it showed up on the box and it was like, oh hey, we have a recommendation for you, Black Panther. And I was like, thanks.
I think
after an hour of work.
Yeah, I think there's a disconnect between the amount of stuff that websites, specifically browsers and apps on mobile devices and set-top boxes, are caching to make the experience faster. But the problem is that they don't always update. Like, they don't always check to make sure that the cache is new, even for that day. And I find it very, very frustrating. Now, I should also mention that I have, I want to say it's a third gen Apple TV. It's got HD. It's full 1080p and does like surround sound and whatever, but it does not have Bluetooth or any of the new features. So it's not a new Apple TV. It's not the 4K capable device. So is my Netflix app getting the same amount of love that the Netflix app on the new Apple devices is getting? Probably not.
My issue is I have a brand new TCL TV with Roku built in that I got less than a year ago.
Right.
And I'm still having the same issue you have, or issues you're having. I don't think it's got anything to do with your Apple TV.
No, it's like, have you ever seen any images of friends that have young children where they put the baby in front of the keyboard and the baby just kind of mashes the keyboard?
No.
Or the meme with the cat typing? Have you seen that?
Oh, yeah.
That's the person reordering stuff at Netflix. Like that, you might as well just smash your keyboard and say, turn this into the way that we order the list. It's ridiculous, and that'll be the end of my rant. I know I got into it last episode, but it's just it had me just so furious this week with taking 10-15 minutes decide, you know, what to watch.
The only thing I will give Netflix credit for is their interface is still better than both Hulu and Amazon, and I've also been watching stuff on it's by Turner Classic Movies. Mm. It's called Filmstruck, and I've subscribed to that for a while now, so we can watch old movies on Friday nights. That's kind of what Erica and I have been doing for date night, and all of them have worse interfaces than Netflix, which I don't even understand how that's possible.
Yeah, I can't compare because I don't have any other real streaming service personally. The only thing I can compare it to is the YouTube app, and it is widely known that the YouTube app on Apple TV is garbage. Like, it is really cumbersome to use, and there's a lot of back and forth, and it doesn't remember where you were, and playlists only load 20 at a time, and so if you're watching episode, you know, 35 of a playlist, like, you have to scroll through all 20 of the first episodes before you get to 35. It doesn't remember that you left off on 35. Whereas at least in Netflix, if you're watching a series, when you go back into that list of series, there's check marks next to the ones that you watched, and your cursor is hovering over the one that's next, right? Like, it they do make that pretty straightforward and easy. I find Netflix not so bad when you're in something, like when you're in a series or watching a movie. I find the interface and controls quite easy. It's the searching and discovery, and then organizing your personal list that I find really frustrating. But it did allow me to discover The Power of Grayskull, which was the documentary that Alistair and I talked about last week. And I wanted to kick off the show this week with some listener email, because we get it so seldom here on the Citadel Cafe. And this one was really, really exciting to receive because it is from Isaac Elliott Fisher, who is one of the producers on Definitive Film. And he was one of the people that made The Power of Grayskull, the documentary that we talked about last week. So he emailed me and introduced himself and said that we can't thank you enough because you really sound like you get us and articulated what we've been doing with our Definitive Film series. We really aim to do as you say with all of our films. Thanks for the kind words. Now, Isaac and I had a bit of a back and forth because when he said something that kind of perked my ears up. Series of films. I was like, wait a minute. I was so into talking about Power of Grayskull last week that I was like, I don't know if I looked to see what other films that Definitive Film has done. Well, right up our alley, Turtle Power, about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which is available on Canadian Netflix now. And coming soon, I shouldn't say soon, I don't know exactly when, A Riddle of Steel, a documentary about Conan, as well as Turtle Power 2, also Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, are finished shooting but have not yet been released. You can check out some background on this at definitivefilm.com. And as a little feather in our Canadian cap, they're a Canadian company. actor in Ontario.
It was so funny when the show showed up in my feed last week that you were talking about Power of Grayskull. I was like, oh, I literally just added this to my Netflix queue like 2 days before you guys did the show.
Nice.
And I was like, oh, they're talking about that. I guess I can't listen to this one because I'm going to want to watch that in the next couple of days anyway.
Okay, so you haven't listened to last week's. So yeah. Without any kind of like spoilers or anything like that, all I will say is absolutely check out this documentary. Like you are okay. Really going to enjoy it. And anybody out there, you can listen to last week's. I mean, it's a documentary. You're not really spoiling anything. But I think you would get more people that would potentially listen to our show from last week would probably get more out of it had they watched the episode or the documentary first, because both Alistair and I saw it not together, but we watched it the same couple of days to talk about on the show. But I really appreciate the email, Isaac. Thanks so much for letting us know that you had heard us talk about it. And I confessed to him when I replied, I was like, wow, like this is really cool. I sort of forget that on the Little Citadel Cafe podcast that I do, that sometimes the creators of the thing that I'm talking about might actually hear it, you know, because you tag stuff in social media and you're like, you know, people that are doing projects might be searching for it.
Happen on ZAMP a couple of times where we talk about some weird indie movie that shows up, and then next thing you know, we get an email from like a producer or the director or the writer, and we're like, oh, people are actually listening.
Yeah,
I forget why we do this.
Yeah, the internet. You forget, like, you just because on a numbers game, you think, okay, I know how many people download the Citadel Cafe on a weekly basis. It's a loyal and wonderful community, but it's not ginormous. So you're thinking like, what are the statistics of the, you know, one of the producers on this, you know, film actually hearing it? So I was a little bit dumbstruck at first, and then immediately kind of went to a darker place where I was like, oh God, I hope that no one that makes The Arrow has listened to the Citadel Cafe because as I started off liking the show, but I haven't talked about any of those shows in a long time because I don't watch them anymore. Now, part of it is that I don't have access. I don't have cable and I'm no longer, we'll say, viewing things in different ways. But also, I really fell off of Arrow and I was like, I really did not have nice things to say about that show and I would feel really bad. You know,
no, my gripe with those shows is I still like them occasionally, but we've been so inundated with other superhero stuff that we're enjoying, like Luke Cage, The Last right. Jessica Jones. Yeah. Iron Fist just came out, but it's on our list that we're going to binge it some weekend. We're not trying to watch that during the week.
Oh, did they do a season 2 of Iron Fist?
Yeah, it just came out this week.
No kidding. Wow, that flew under my radar.
And it's supposed to be 100 times better than season 1.
Well, there was nowhere to go but up.
Yeah. Like, but no, there's people, what I've heard is there were people that hated the first season that were like, yeah. So after the first episode, I was kind of like, oh, it's going to be the same. And then like 3 or 4 episodes in, they're like, oh, they definitely have upped their game compared to the last. They realized their mistakes from the last season. Okay.
Well, that's good news. And apparently
it apparently has some weird thing in the last episode that people won't talk about. So I don't know what it is, but something happens in the last episode where people are like, the what? And I'm like, well, now you're making me want to watch it, damn it.
See, and to me, I don't know that I would last 3 episodes into season 2 if I didn't know that it was going to get better. Because I didn't finish season 1. And I would, if
you
I was
don't
gonna,
need to.
Well, no, if I was going to go in season 2, I would look it up on Wikipedia. I would read the synopsis and go from there, right? But if episode 1.
Did you watch
1,
Defenders?
I did.
Then you know exactly where it's going to pick up from.
Okay, perfect. But the thing is, like, if they didn't turn it around in episode 1 of season 2 for Iron Fist, I would be checking out. Having not known that it gets better, I might give it a chance.
And the biggest twist, too, was as Netflix announced this week that Daredevil season 3 is coming in October 17th or something like that.
I don't understand how these things just happen so quickly. Like, I haven't heard, granted I haven't been seeking out the news, but I have not heard anything about them filming season 3. I didn't know there was a season 3. I figured Defenders would get another season, but I didn't know when
Defenders
that was happening.
Is not getting another season.
Oh, it's not.
They said it was too hard to get them all together and get all the storylines to link up.
Huh.
And that right now, they're telling each person's own individual story. There's no reason why another year or two down the road, they might try to do another Defenders 2, but they're trying to expand the characters more before they team them up.
Well, that's
again.
Good, because really you don't have a lot of character development in the team up. The team up is more just about fun interactions and,
yeah,
and action and stuff like that. And there's not, that's not to say that Luke Cage couldn't show up in one episode of Daredevil, you know,
Iron Fist shows up in, I don't know if you've seen Luke Cage season 2 yet.
I tried. I didn't get past either the first or second episode because I found the bad guys so unbelievable.
Yeah, she's kind of, are you talking about the Jamaican guy?
No, the big Jamaican guy I found interesting. So I got introduced to him and I was like, oh, okay, that's curious. And what's funny about that is when I went to go watch it, he was on the show art for Netflix. And I was like,
yeah,
who's this guy? Like, is this Luke Cage? What am I looking at? When really I'm thinking, your show art should probably be your main dude, like at all times.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, and I, like, there's a, what's the name of it? The Accountant. It's an action thriller with Ben Affleck.
Yep. Yep. And they don't put him on the cover.
No, it's some girl that I've seen her in stuff. Her name's escaping me right now, but it's like, she might play his wife or something. Like it's not even an iconic moment. Like, it's her shuffling paper on a desk and you're just like, so who is this and why do I care? Whereas if it's Ben Affleck, like, there's your draw, like, there's your star power, click on this please, you know, sort of marketing for the image. And I just don't get why. I mean, I understand that it has to be different shapes. Like, on the website, they're all 16:9, you know, panels. On Apple TV, they're all like poster size, like they're all vertical, you know, like as if you've got like,
yeah,
a vertical, you know, rectangle. So I appreciate that they have to be different designs, but like, it should be just a crop of the same image. Like, it should be the same thing. Like, I'm trying to think about something else that would be similar. Well, I mean, it's like apps on your phone. Can you imagine if apps on your phone changed their icon daily?
I don't have them changed daily, but I sure have some that change on a monthly basis.
I don't have
it's
anything
super
that,
frustrating.
I don't have anything that change that frequently. I have seen some changes in the last little while where you're just like, oh, that's a different color now. And I've actually had to move my apps around because I had a couple of apps that were next to one another that end up with a new rebranding of an app. I can't remember.
And they look exactly the same.
Yeah, it was like Dropbox and Discord or something. And all of a sudden, like,
yep,
wow, you guys are the same color now. You got to be not next to one another because this is getting real frustrating. But yeah,
I had that exact same issue. There was something that was the same color as Discord. And every time I tried to click on it, I was like, oh, I think it was my thermostat because I can check my thermostat for
Nest.
Oh,
yeah, okay, yeah.
And they're like the same color. And so I click the thing and I'm like, I know, I don't want to look at my thermostat, damn it.
Or the reverse, you go to look at your thermostat and then you end up reading and checking Discord for 20 minutes. You're like, what was I doing? I didn't plan on being here doing this.
Yes.
Oh, man. Well, I don't know if we've talked about it on the show, but can you give me a yay or nay for Luke Cage season 2? Like, should I muscle through the terrible villains?
Yes.
Okay.
The terrible villain in the beginning.
I can't remember her name, but Shades and his girlfriend are just,
they're in it throughout the whole season.
Oh, joy.
But the real villain ends up being the big Jamaican guy.
Yeah, well, because I mean, right away you get that he's the physical presence, like he's the one that can challenge
yeah,
Cage, right? Yeah. And I have to say, I really enjoy the dynamic between Cage and Nurse something. What's her character's name? It's Rosario Dawson.
The Night Nurse.
Night Nurse, yeah. Claire, right?
Yeah. Claire.
Fantastic chemistry. Really real conversations. Wow, Joel, really real conversations. Excellent, excellent English tonight. But just stuff that feels like real people dealing with superpowers, not contrived sci-fi speak. You know, like it's a little bit more visceral, and something I really do appreciate about the show. But speaking of Netflix, that is exactly what I have been doing the last little while in terms of watching something for the Citadel Cafe. I've been wanting to do this for a while. It's been on my list for a long time. I think I might be on a documentary kick. I feel like I've added 3 or 4 to my list. This is a short one. It's not a big conversation, but I cannot recommend enough that people check out Lego House, Home of the Brick on Netflix. It's a little bit of a Lego documentary. They do go into a little bit of history about the company, but if you've seen one documentary, you know this information already. The majority of the documentary, which is directed by Anders Falk, focuses on the conception, design, and construction of the Lego House in Billund, Denmark, which is now the company's like main, not headquarters, but it's like a tourist attraction, a gallery, and a store, and meant to be like the physical representation of Lego and what Lego means to the world. And
right,
it's like 47 minutes. Like it's a small time investment. It's basically like an hour long special that you might catch on TV. And it is fascinating. The level of detail, the amount of passion that all of these people at Lego put into it. And you're talking about like the architect from Big, the CEO and owner, Christensen, talking about the Lego House, and all of the people that go down, like the play experiences, the restaurant that's in there. It is joy filled. Just from start to finish, there's no drama. There's no reservation. Like they are just 110 miles an hour, not rushing it, but like they are just gung-ho from absolute ground zero to make this thing. And it's modern, but has a lot of classic kind of feeling to it. Because of course, once you go inside and there's all these Lego bricks everywhere, it takes you back, right? Like it takes you back to your childhood. So there's this nostalgic feel about it, but it's a very modern building. And they really craft the experience in a way that I've not seen many companies do with a physical location in the world like that. It is really, really cool. It's something that would be cool to watch with kids, but I mean, it's aimed at adults, not necessarily in a...
I was going to say, this sounds like this would be boring for kids.
Well, no, because there's a lot of eye candy. Like they really get into the sets, they get into the play culture, they get into the history of the brick. It's presented in a way where they're not, they don't talk down to you. So it's not, there's no cartoony voiceover. Gotcha. If anything, the only real complaint is that I feel like the voiceover is very dry. Like everybody in this documentary is just so passionate about Lego. Well, I mean, Christensen is like the third generation Lego owner. Like his grandfather started the company. So like he is in it, you know, up to his eyeballs and loving every second of it. But the narrator is, I think, reading from a translation for starters, but then also just kind of regurgitating facts. So that is a little bit strange. It feels very dry, but everything else about it is just wonderful. And I almost cried. Like it just, there's when they release and open the house, like when they have the opening of the experience, and you've got everybody from like royalty in Denmark to the architects and all the, you know, chairman and CEO of Lego, like everybody that's there. And they weren't just managing this from behind a desk. Like there are many, many parts of these interviews where these folks are walking around with hard hats and vests on. They're on location. Like they're in the giant warehouse in the Czech Republic where all of the models were built. Like there's a tree called the Tree of Creativity that's in the middle of this house. It's the centerpiece of the building.
Looking at a photo of it right now.
15 meters tall, 6 million bricks, something like 23,000 man hours to complete. The whole structure, the house itself, the architectural build took 7 years from start to finish. It's just a really interesting journey to see Lego kind of putting down this this root, you know, like this, pardon the pun, but like this structure, this home for the toys that they make, you know? I feel bad saying toys because it feels like it diminishes the experience of what Lego really is. But man, there's some breathtaking stuff. The only thing, if you're watching it with really little kids, there's some points where they're speaking, I want to say Dutch, I don't really know. And they have to do their subtitles and stuff like that. So there might be some points where kids that can't read fast enough might not wonder, you know, what's going on. But if you're watching with a 10 or a 12-year-old, like, they should be able to follow along quite well.
I loved Lego as a kid, but as I got older, it became the most expensive toy.
Oh, it still is.
And so I went, I'll get that video game instead.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's not an accident that I play Minecraft, which cost me $35 once. and I can build whatever I want, whenever I want. I mean, I still have Lego sets around. I still have a Lego set that I've had for over a year that I haven't put together, but it's one of those things that I will probably get back into in the winter when it's not so nice outside and I can have some opportunity to do it. But it's hard. It's really hard to just, especially when you're an adult and it's your money and you have other things to do and spend your money on. And you're like, do I really want to drop like $200 on a playset? Like, I understand I'm going to enjoy it. I understand it's going to be probably more enjoyment for my dollar than a, you know, going to a 2-hour film that's going to cost me 12 or 14 bucks. You know, like, this is something that's going to last a lot longer and all that kind of stuff. I get that, but it's really hard to rationalize the cost of it. You know, like, if I had a larger disposable income, maybe that wouldn't be a thing, but that's not the case. So I know, I have to choose what I spend my entertainment budget on.
Exactly.
More carefully. Yeah. Yeah. So what have you been watching in the last little while?
So the thing that I started watching on Netflix a couple nights ago is I'm always looking for something I can watch that Eric is not interested in so that I don't have to worry about falling behind. I can watch what I want and I could just binge watch 12 episodes and not have to worry about her keeping up with me.
Right.
And I stumbled across American Vandal, which has been on my Netflix list since it showed up. And I hate mockumentaries. Like, the only one I think I kind of like is Spinal Tap, and that's about it. Then I didn't like The Office, where it was a fake document.
Right.
I hate that show.
I didn't really get into it. The few episodes of The Office that I watched, I liked. I thought they were funny. I found the Steve Carell character kind of contrived, but everybody else was fine.
So I've been avoiding this show, but I've been curious about it. And then Erica went to bed early one night and I said, you know, they're only like 20 minute episodes or 22 minute episodes. And I went, you know, I'll give it one episode. And by the end of the first episode, I was like, all right, I'm all in. And in less than 24 hours, I had watched all 10 episodes.
Wow.
There's not that many episodes. I think it's like 10 or 12 episodes long, and they're only like 22 minutes. But I found myself late at night going, I can do two more. It's less than an hour.
Famous last words. What's it about?
Okay, so the idea is it's a bunch of high school kids doing a documentary about a high school kid at their high school who's been expelled from school because he was accused of drawing penises on all the cars in the parking lot with spray paint.
Okay.
And the kid, it's hard to feel bad for him. He's about the dumbest piece of garbage you'll ever meet. And at every turn, he puts his foot in his mouth. And while you realize he may not have done this crime, you realize he did like 5 more that might be worse. And you're like, oh, stop talking. Stop.
But he's acting. It's an actor.
It's all acting. It's none of it is real.
Okay.
But it's all high school kids, and they sell you on the fact that they're all high school kids. Like, one of the documentarians are two kids from like the AV club that are making this documentary, and they've got like they've got like the dots on the board connecting the lines to the conspiracy that was to get this kid expelled, and they think the teachers drew the dicks, and they're literally discussing how this kid is known for drawing dicks on all the blackboards in high school in the school, but he always draws ball hairs, and there's no ball hairs on this.
the minutia of the art form.
Yes, yeah. And that's like the first three episodes, and you're still laughing at it. But then by like the fourth episode, you're like, well, somebody here did it, and it's obviously not him.
Right.
Who did it? And they're like going down the list, and they're like, well, it could be this one, or it could be that one, and like and it's done in such a. It's done to kind of mock Serial.
Okay.
The podcast.
The podcast, yeah.
It's done kind of in a mock version of that. But you're still compelled because you're like, okay, so they're obviously trying to tell me a story. Are they ever going to tell me who did it? And in the last episode, they don't tell you who did it, but they pretty much outline who did it and then go, hey, we're going to talk to them and see if they'll confess. And of course they don't confess, but you literally see them look at the camera and they're like, and you go, and you, and the answer they give is the answer that makes you go, oh yeah, they did it. And this was such a big hit for Netflix. Actually, this Friday, the second season is coming out, and it is the same two kids who did this documentary, because it's meta in a way that I've never seen done before. They literally are referencing previous episodes of the show like people have been watching it on YouTube.
Oh, fun. Okay.
So like, they get kicked. These two kids get expelled or threatened to be expelled from school because they're interrogating teachers about why they get. And they're like, you're breaking too much drama at school. Kids are protesting the school teachers now. We can't have you interviewing other people. Like, and you're like, wait a minute. Is this show like referencing itself, which is referencing itself, which is making fun of itself? What the hell's going on here?
Nice. Is there anybody in it that I would recognize?
There's no major actors, but every person that you see, you'll be like, I think he was in an episode of Arrow, and he was like the guy that he talked to at a thing, and he had like three lines. Like every actor in it, you'll be like, I've seen that guy somewhere.
Right. Okay.
I've seen this person somewhere, but I don't know who they are. I don't know where they came from. Like, there's one of the kids who's a big part of most of the plot is there's this redheaded kid that they're trying to figure out whether or not he's a liar, because he claims he saw somebody commit the crime.
Right.
And they're constantly finding this kid lying about everything. And as soon as the kid showed up, I was like, why do I know that kid? And so I looked him up, and he did a bunch of stuff when he was a smaller kid.
Oh,
and he was
right.
in like three episodes of Psych, which I just finished marathoning a couple months ago. And I'm like, oh, that's why I know him. He was in a bunch of stuff I've watched recently. Okay. Yeah. But I didn't know his name.
It's really funny when that happens. You know, like, you see some kid actor in a movie, they're playing someone's son or someone's younger brother, you know, or someone's like, you know, female school friend, and then they not necessarily stop acting, but they do a lot fewer projects because they're finishing high school or like they're doing whatever normal people do. And then they get back into it in their 20s and you're like, where the hell do I know this person from? And you're recognizing like this. You're like, you've seen this kid. Like, I know, I feel like their jawline is sort of familiar, but I mean, everything else is different. And then you realize like, oh God, I recognize them from when they were five on this show. And you're like, holy crap. You know, I mean, once you see it, you understand immediately why you were recognizing them. But man, like it's subtle sometimes. Like I think the famous one that I point out is the kid that played Neville Longbottom on Harry Potter movies. Real, I don't want to say dorky, but he had a unique look as a young man. I think his teeth were bigger than most of his head.
And now he's ripped.
He is, well, not just in really good shape. He's also a very good looking guy. You know?
Actually, the show I talked about, I think a couple months back when I was on the show, I talked about Death in Paradise, I think.
Right.
It's a murder mystery show. He's in an episode of that. And as soon as he showed up, Eric and I went, no, that can't be who. Is that who I think it is? And then we had to look it up. We were like, oh my God, that is him.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's
and he was like the biggest guest star that week on the show. And we were like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it's funny how that kind of stuff comes back.
But American Vandal season 2 is coming out, and it's the same two kids that are making the documentary about another school that has petitioned them to do a documentary about a disaster that happened at their school where someone contaminated the lemonade and the entire school got diarrhea. To the point where like the ambulances had to come to the school and cops had to be called. Oh my God. They call it poop day.
Oh my, I'm noticing a theme. It's good that it seems to be a fairly sophisticated show in the way that it's written and executed, because the crux of it all is not really highbrow.
Yes, it's really lowbrow. And at one point, Erica saw me watching some of it, and she was like, what are they talking about? I can't get into this. I need to walk away right now. And I was like, what?
That's where you should have turned to her and started explaining the minutia of the ball hair, you know?
And that's just the small part of what happens in the show. And you're like, oh my God, what are they debating now? What? And the thing I will say that really impressed me about the show is they literally like start discussing like modern tech. Like the kids go through people's Instagram videos to confirm that somebody was at a party when they were claiming they shouldn't have been. And you're like, wow, they put some thought into this.
And you said that season 2 of American Vandal comes out on Friday?
Yeah.
Cool. I recognize, funny enough, I recognize the show art. Let's see if I recognize it on Friday.
Yeah, I hope you do. If you just need to kill 22 minutes, you can't beat 22 minutes of this show.
Okay, it's good to know. It's nice to have some short form stuff too. Like a lot of Netflix stuff is usually like an hour long.
And it's short form, but when 22 minutes was up, I was like, oh, it's been 22 minutes? I thought I just watched an hour.
Hmm.
Like that's how compelling it is.
Nice. I find it difficult sometimes to sit down and watch like original Netflix films. They seem to be hit or miss, where I usually find that I'm okay with the
shows
series.
Are good.
Yeah, the shows are usually good. The films are like hit or miss. Or in my experience, some have been hit or miss, but I'm hearing more and more from other people that I respect on podcasts and stuff like that, that a lot of the Netflix movies are like, they're not bad. They're just kind of meh, you know, like they're kind of,
yeah, they're good. They're straight to DVD quality.
Yeah. And I kind of wonder if it's intentional, you know, like, is it,
I think it might be
like, they're just producing so much stuff that they just want you to have something to throw on in the background.
That straight to DVD stuff back in the day was really cheap to produce or get it run right straight to DVD. It costs a lot more to get that stuff to show up in a theater.
Yes.
And I think that Netflix goes, yeah, we'll give you $3 million. Let's put a movie up on Netflix. And then that gets them, that gets your eyes on Netflix for another 1,000 hours, you know? Right.
Exactly. Now, it's not to say that some indie films can't be wonderful, you know, really fun and imaginative and different. I've covered a number of them on this show that were either independent films outside of Netflix or stuff that Netflix produced and I really enjoyed. But I don't know, like, there's something to be said about, like, just because it's, some of them feel like long TV shows that they just didn't bother to edit down.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just, you get to a lull in the middle of the movie where you're like, oh God, either this is where it becomes predictable or this is where it gets dumb. And I have a real hard time muscling through. Very seldom do I actually bail in the middle of watching something, and I've done it a number of times on Netflix original movies.
Speaking of predictable.
Uh-oh.
I also saw Skyscraper last week.
The Rock film?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it is the most predictable. I enjoyed it. I had fun.
Yeah.
I probably won't watch it again for a couple more years.
I've been wondering. I haven't seen any of his recent films. I follow him on social media. I enjoy Dwayne Johnson, the guy, immensely.
Yeah.
I find him very entertaining. I will sit down and watch an interview with him any time of the day. He is charismatic and very engaging. But I look at the rate at which he is making these movies, and I just think there's no way they're all good. There's no way.
Oh, no. I'm not going to tell you that this is a bad movie. I definitely enjoyed my time with it. The premise is he's a former FBI agent. He's not even an agent. He's like a tactical FBI agent, like the guy that goes in to like clear the room kind of thing.
Okay.
Like FBI's version of SWAT.
Right.
And he gets caught up in an explosion trying to catch it. Getting a suspect to surrender. He thinks the guy's putting down his gun, but what he doesn't realize is the guy's got a bomb vest on. The guy pulls the cord on the bomb vest and blows up the entire team. And The Rock is one of like three guys that live.
Wow.
But he loses his leg. And that also means he can't be an FBI agent anymore.
So he's got a fake leg in this?
Yes.
Wow.
And they constantly are showing him like readjusting the strap or taking the leg off because he's sitting down for a minute. And like they constantly are doing it to the point where you're like, okay, I get it. He doesn't have a leg. And they intentionally like make him limp around and stuff too while he's running in the movie. And you're like, okay, at least they got him faking. And then all of a sudden you see him do something and you're like, no, he couldn't do that with a fake leg.
Yeah,
but this is the fact that they're trying. You're like, okay, and the idea is he became a security consultant after the FBI because he can't get work, and there's some new building in Hong Kong that is like the largest building in human history now. It's like three times the size of the biggest building that currently exists.
Okay.
And he's been brought in as an outside consultant because the guy that built the building, everybody, they're going to start moving people to live inside this building. And everybody is like, oh, nothing can beat this security. This security is amazing. Da, 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 da. And he is brought in as an outside consultant to tell him whether or not it's actually secure. And he's kind of like, well, I see a hole here. I see a hole over here. But no, it's pretty good. And then what you find out is that there's people that want the building to be destroyed, or there's people that want the guy that built the building. Something's going on, and terrorists show up, and it becomes Die Hard.
Right. That's what I got from the trailer.
And it is Die Hard, Die Hard, Die Hard. Right down to, like, the wife and the kids are running around in the building, and she's, like, helping him take out guys and stuff. And you're like, okay. It, which is not a bad thing. What's her name? Neve Campbell is his wife in it. And she's excellent in it. And you're like, okay, like all the acting is top notch, but there are every guy that shows up that you think is a bad guy in everything you've ever seen them in. So as soon as you see them, you go, oh, he's the bad guy.
Yeah.
I don't care if he says he's the good guy. He's the bad guy.
Yeah.
Well, and every turn.
And that's not new, though. I mean, like, you go back and watch most of the action movies from the 80s, especially Schwarzenegger or Willis, like any of those big action guys in the 80s. And the same bad guy actors show up in multiple different films. Like, you get to see the type. And, I'm not going to argue the depth of the story in something like Predator or... you know, any of the Commando, you know, all the Arnold Schwarzenegger films. I still thought they were fun. I knew that they weren't Shakespeare, you know?
Yes.
So, and I think a lot of it, of my, I guess, absence from really following The Rock's films is that I can tell that they look pretty predictable from the outside. Like I mentioned earlier, I do have this budget of entertainment where like, I'm not going out to see every movie in theaters. If anything, out of the last few years, Jumanji would probably be the one that I would check out. Like that was one I probably
really good.
Yeah, well, and that's the other thing is that I'm hearing more people talk about how good that was, and from that same place of like it was really good, because they're looking at the track record of how many movies he's doing and thinking they're all going to be okay, but they're not going to be knocking out of the park. But then
what I understand, Jumanji was so good, they're going to make a sequel.
Yeah, 2019. Welcome to the Jungle sequel. Pre-production is I'm looking at his IMDb page right now, and there's a bunch of stuff where, you know, like, I mean, I was never into the Fast and the Furious movies, so like, I not my flavor of stuff. So all that kind of stuff that he does is not really up my alley. I hear he's fantastic on Ballers, and I know about the series, but I just haven't had
I've never seen it.
Yeah. But there's all kinds of stuff. There's Suicide Squad 2, Black Adam, there's Doc Savage, there's Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah, he's going to... Big Trouble in Little China is going to be a sequel to the original, and he is going to somehow be involved with Kurt Russell or be taking the mantle from Kurt Russell or something.
Interesting. I mean, he brings in the bucks. Like, I mean, they're making the movies because they make money, right? Like, I mean, they must be doing something.
Are you familiar with the concept of Chekhov's gun?
I've heard of it, but refresh my memory.
The idea is they mention something in the film, like so-and-so is a sharpshooter. And then later on, they get into a sharpshooting match.
Right.
Or they go, oh yeah, that glass jar is full of poison. And then later on, somebody opens up the jar of poison and dumps it on somebody. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This whole movie, it might as well be called Chekhov's Gun the Movie. Because they're like, this fire escape cannot be tampered with. And then it gets tampered with. they go, these elevators are designed to do blah. And then it doesn't happen. And then they go, oh yeah, the Rock doesn't have a leg. And they keep reminding me of it. And at one point, I think he hits a guy with the leg. and you're like, okay. And then, so there's this big circle thing at the top of the building. And The Rock is getting ready to finish his tour of the building with the guy that created the building. And all these mirrors come up out of the ground. And in your head, you go, oh, they're going to do Enter the Dragon. There's going to be a fight in a hall of mirrors. And The Rock is going to have to take out a bunch of guys in a hall of mirrors. And lo and behold, the end of the movie happens at the top of the tower. And he fights a bunch of guys in a hall of mirrors. And you're like, man. I've predicted everything that's going to happen in this movie. Not that it's a bad thing, but boy, somebody just... This is a checklist movie. Yup. Yup. Okay, we're going to do this next. Yup. And you're like, oh my God. To the point where you even understand what the bad guys are after, like halfway through the movie, you're like, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The plot is really simple. These guys are after one thing, and you even know why they're after it, and you're like, yeah, yeah. And then when it gets revealed to The Rock, he's like, oh, and you're like, why were you surprised, man? Everything else that's happened to you has followed the same plot line.
So I watched one of those really honest trailers the other day.
Yeah,
and it's like, this is reminding me of this. I think is it Paramount that's making the new Predators film? I can't remember.
Yes.
But there's a new Predators film, and they're talking a lot about the original Predators film. And so either this guy had already done it, or he released it on purpose, where he did an honest trailer for Predator from the 80s.
He does them. He tries to do them on movies when like a sequel or a reboot is coming.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, so there's this really cool spot where like there's all these actors that are like Schwarzenegger and Jesse the Body Ventura and like all these guys. They're like, what the hell's out there, man? What's out there? And the guy keeps on cutting back to the first scene of the movie where it's like, it's an alien. They showed the ship in the first 30 seconds of the film. It's an alien. And then every cut of this trailer is one of these like real calm jungle moments, like something is hunting us. And the guy just keeps on cutting back and going, ship, it's alien, it's alien. it killed me. I was just dying. Because it's been a long time since I've seen Predator, but I never clued in. Like, I never realized just how blatant they were, you know, with this opening shot of the alien ship coming into orbit, you know. Yeah. And it's like, oh, that's right. They totally do that, don't they? And then everybody on the ground is acting like they have no idea what's going on. But the audience is just like, it's the guy that came in the spaceship. It's the sparkle dude. Like, you know, It's the sparkly chipmunk that came down from outer space.
Yep.
Funny. Oh, man. Well, I will. I don't necessarily think I'm going to add Skyscraper to my list, although I should check to see if any of his stuff is.
If it shows up on Netflix, I'd say totally watch it, yeah. But I wouldn't spend any money on it.
No. I need to go actually on Netflix, type in Dwayne Johnson and see what comes up. Because if Jumanji comes up, I do need to bookmark that because I've been meaning to watch that for ages.
I love The Rundown. I watch The Rundown every year or two.
Yeah.
And every single time I laugh, every single time, it doesn't matter that I know exactly where the plot's going. I'm like,
yeah.
You know, I like this movie.
What was the other one that he did about a cop that got shot up and was like doing war on drugs in his hometown in the South somewhere?
Walking Tall.
That's a fantastic movie. That's deeper than you would expect that movie to
and
be.
And it's a remake.
That's right. Yeah, yeah,
it's a remake, but I forget who did the original. It was somebody that was really big in the 60s or 70s.
Right. Wasn't Burt Reynolds, was it?
It was not.
I don't know. Listeners, if you know who started the original Walking Tall, then let us know. But that is unfortunately all the time that we have for this episode of the Citadel Cafe. You can find links to all the different stuff that Lou and I were talking about on thecitadelcafe.com. And the music for the show was composed by Kevin MacLeod. Email the show at thecitadelcafe@gmail.com or find us by name on Twitter and Facebook. You can also find us on Patreon. If you go to patreon.com/thecitadelcafe, it is the best way to support the show directly. We are on a mission to have one more patron every month than we did the month previous. We are halfway through September and still sitting at the same amount of patrons. So if you're on the fence, then head on over to patreon.com/thecitadelcafe. And put a little value back into the show. I would very much appreciate it. And if you have any questions at all about Patreon or how it works, then email me and ask me. I'll be more than happy to shed some light on that area. My name is Joel Duggan. You can find everything that I am doing online at joelduggan.com. What am I going to plug this week? I'm going to say my YouTube channel. Check out youtube.com/joelduggan, especially if you have an interest in Minecraft videos or you have kids that are interested in Minecraft videos. All the stuff that I do is family friendly, so you don't have to worry about that kind of stuff. Beyond that, it is just my name on Twitter, Instagram, Twitch, and I think it's Joel Duggan Illustration on Facebook. I don't plug it very much, but that's where you can find me there too. Lou, where can people find you online?
The easiest place to find me is anywhere you find someone with the handle Busy Zombie Lord. That's me everywhere. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, everything's Busy Zombie Lord. And the other place you can find me is my podcast, Zombies Ate My Podcast, where this week we've been having a bunch of scheduling conflicts, so we're a couple shows behind. But this week, Ryan and I are going to tackle a Netflix movie called Resort. It's basically Jurassic Park with zombies.
Like zombie dinosaurs?
No. It's after the apocalypse, and people have rounded up the zombies and put them on an island so that people can go there and shoot them for fun. And then somebody hacks the island and chaos ensues, and all the people on the island that are there for fun get chased by zombies for real.
Jeez. Nice.
It's actually really good. It's
I don't doubt it, but it's like one of those, what could go wrong?
It's one of those movies that I was kind of like, okay, this is what we're gonna watch. All right, I guess I'll give it a seat myself in for this one. And then I went, wow, I see where the plot's going, but there's something about this movie that has got me compelled, and I don't know why.
Nice. You've been listening to the Citadel Cafe, where we are fast, easy, and cheap, but you can only pick two.